Well, this morning we're very blessed to have Chinru Nwosu sharing his testimony with us.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
My grandfather, I should say, is the gentlest gentleman that I have known, except, of course, for Moses in the Bible. He was very, very gentle. But he was a traditional African healer. And of course, in our African parlance, such a profession or practice involves occultism. He used to take me to every place with him because I was his favorite grandson. And he believed that I am the reincarnation of his younger brother who died. So he loved me very much. And one day he took me to his shrine. I was standing behind him, and he did something strange that really pulverized my attention. He put his sacrificial offerings at the shrine, and then he stood up straight and then lifted up his hands and he adored the God who lives in the sky, the God of heaven, and he ascribed worship to him and blessed God. It was strange to me that an occultist should know to worship the God of heaven. And that was the very first time my attention, my mind was awakened to the fact that although my father had been talking to me about God, but that day it was as though the curtain was raised for me to understand really the greatness of the God in the heaven. Of course, in my language, we used to call God, we call him Chineke. Chineke means the God that created the heavens and the earth, the God who is creating, and the God who also will create, is all embodied in that name, Chineke. So he called on Chineke and blessed, and you know, it touched me greatly. It awakened my awareness of God. And then, a little after that, my father took me to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That was where I was raised. And he had been talking to me of Bible characters, of things God did. And in the Sabbath school, my teacher was very versed in Bible stories. But beyond that, he went to the last book in the Bible and picked a verse that sort of, you know, made me to cringe. He talked about the judgment of God and how books were opened. And then there was one particular book that was opened before God, containing the names of all those who will go to heaven. And the thing that really also frightened me there was in verse 15 of Revelation chapter 20. It says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And also in my language, what we call hell, we call it okwalamu, that is the fire of the spirit world, and we know it to never quench, and that it will be there even in African understanding, that it will never go down and you will never die in that fire. And it frightened me a great deal. I kept thinking of that book. I was wondering, if I could even peep into that book to check for my name, whether my name was in that book. That thought bothered me for a long, long while. And then my father and my Sabbath school teacher embossed on this idea of hell. They painted a gory story of how terrible hell must be. One, it's a place, there's no rest there. You don't see somebody and greet him. If you stretch out your hand to shake somebody, he will cut off your hand. And you suffer the pain, but you won't die. It's a place of continuous gunshots and explosions and smoke. There is no love there. And it's a place of regret. A place where there is no water. A place where there is no love there at all. And what more? He says, if you enter that hell, you will never come out. And I think that place is also shown in Luke 16. And Abraham said, and besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from there, from here to you, cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. So in my mind, I said, this is the real maximum prison. You can't come out there. And then the conditions are there that are existing there are unbearable. It really frightened me. And each time I was in my mind, endeavoring to figure out if there's a way I could just check for myself whether my name is in that other one book that contains the name of those who are going to heaven. And then one day something happened. It had rained and it was getting cold, and suddenly some people started singing in the village square. I was with my grandfather, and he said, okay, Chinu, just run out, go and check those who are singing that song. And if you find that they are Jehovah's Witnesses, come back and lock the gate. Don't allow them to enter here. And I sprang out. At that time, I was around 8 years old. I was completely naked, no dress. I ran out. I saw them. They were singing. And then I found that these were old men. All of them were far older than my father, but just next to my grandfather in age. There were 12 of them from the local Methodist church. And the preacher preached. I was their lone audience. I was the only person listening to them. They didn't bother. They just were singing the song. They prayed, then one of them preached. Of course, what the man preached. But when they began to sing, that was something that caught my attention. And they sang that song, "The Great Physician is Near." You know that song? Up to today, I have never forgotten it. That great physician now is near, that sympathizing Jesus. They sang that song. And up to today, even if I'm sleeping and you start playing that song, I will wake up. Then that happened, and they prayed and they left. Then a Seventh-day Adventist pastor came to preach to my grandfather. I told you he was He was a traditional medicine man. He used to come on a regular basis. I think maybe fortnightly. Each time he comes, he will park his motorcycle one side and he will retire into my grandfather's hut. Sometimes he'll be there for 2 hours. Sometimes more than that. Preaching to my grandfather. Of course, my grandfather now was rather too old to go to church. I never see him step into a church. And for my own case, I was going down the road to our stream one hot afternoon in March. Many wonderful things I have had some experiences in the month of March. Like I'm relating this testimony today. This is March. Okay. And about that period, our people used to prepare the forest. They'll cut it down, dry it, and after the bush is dry, then they'll set it on fire to prepare for planting. I was alone on the road. And then I saw these huge fires burning. And then I was in my mind thinking about all the animals that have been caught in that fire, the agony of dying by fire. Then as I was thinking about that, then the Spirit of God started talking to me. He said, Chinu, you have been thinking about hell. This fire you see is a child's play compared to the fire in hell. Out of curiosity, I climbed the bank of the road to a level with the burning bush. I watched and gazed at this burning bush for quite some time. And now the Spirit told me, this is the time for you to commit your life to Christ. I'm telling you, I did not accept Christ in a church or in a Christian meeting. I received Christ near the burning bush. I knelt down, and it was as though the Spirit of God, a voice was dictating to me what to say in prayer. So I said, I was listening to that voice, said, oh God, please help me. Lord Jesus, please, I do not want to go to hell. And I want you to write my name in the book of life. Please. I knelt, I prayed that prayer. And just about the time I wanted to rise, the voice told me, there's something else you still need to say. And I said, Lord, there might be a time when I might be tempted to run away from you. Please, if such a time comes, don't let me run away. Grip me hard, please. Don't let me go. And then when I rose after praying that prayer, I felt a sense of peace and assurance in my heart. Then I climbed down from the burning bush, and then went to the stream and fetched water. I kept in my heart, rehearsing that incident. I know the particular spot where I knelt down to prayer, committing my life. And then another thing happened. One evening, I now was returning from the stream alone on that road. And I was walking close to the spot where I gave my life to Christ. Because each time I go to the stream, whenever I reach that spot, I will remember my committing my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by this time, this evening, as I was getting close to that spot, I heard some rumblings from that side. Some rumblings, rufflings of dry grass or dry leaves. And so at a certain point I was moved to stand still, And then I saw the biggest and the longest serpent, snake, that I have ever known in life. And that snake traversed that spot. And then he came out. But you know, and when he came out, you know, it was evening. I was lonely on the road. This was the, every child will certainly scream and maybe tempted to run, will be tempted to run. But somehow I felt a hand, as though there was a big hand, you know, placed above my head. I was cool, calculated, but very afraid in my heart. I didn't move. And that snake, it was very more than 50 feet. It crossed that spot where I knelt down to pray. And then came down the road, spanned the road, then it climbed to the other side bank of the road, and then into the bush. I was watching, and that until that serpent cleared off the way. It frightened me because in African parlance, for a snake to cross that point where you knelt down, that was an evil omen. It was a frightening thing. But I know I had trusted Jesus to, I trusted my life into the hands of the Lord. And I didn't talk to any person about it until after 50 years. Then I looked back. I said to myself, that snake going, you know, over where I knelt to commit my life to the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing else than Satan challenging my committing my life to the Lord. Then, and actually I have been through fires. Satan has always challenged my commitment to the Lord. But I know whom I trusted. And he has been keeping me through many fires, through many tears, through many tribulations, through many trials, threats to my life, poisonings, beatings, just because I always like to live and testify of the name of Jesus Christ wherever I have been, both in church, in school, or workplace, or in the village. For many years now, I've been on the gospel road for more than 50 years now. And then, then another thing happened to me. 15 years after I committed my life to the Lord, I had another burning bush experience. I was leaving the village to go to our capital city to look for work. This was in 1972, also in the month of March. This night, it was a very windy night. And that was the Harmattan season. In Nigeria, we have two principal seasons. We don't have any winter there. We don't have know of any snow there. Our seasons are divided, dry season and the rainy season. And within the dry season, there is a particularly dry period of the dry season. We call it the Harmattan. And then I was looking at that I was going to say farewell to my school principal. He was not only my school principal, he was a Methodist man. He was also a spiritual mentor, you know, for me or to me. And looking at him, you know, there are some people you will see, you know that these are very godly people, even without them telling you anything. This man was one of them. And he had guided me in school in spiritual matters. So I was now leaving for the capital city. I said, okay, let me say hello to him before boarding the transport to take me to the capital city. And just before I stepped into his compound, my attention was caught by something strange. I saw a dry raffia palm tree. It has caught fire all over, you know, it was burning all over. I kept looking at that specter, and I observed whenever the wind will blow across it, it will release, you know, thousands of sparks of beautiful fire, small fires. I was so arrested by, then I said in my heart, I said, this is God's own fireworks. And then God spoke to me from that burning palm tree. You know, if your heart is quiet and you have put your heart in God, many a time when the Lord is speaking, you will hear. He speaks often by this still small voice. And that voice told me, he called my name, say, Chinu, you can see how this dry palm tree is burning and sending out fires, sparks, millions of sparks of fires. That is how your life is going to be. As you suffer, as you strive, as you preach my name, many people will find Christ through your witness. And that is how it has been with me. I have had the joy of seeing some handfuls of people who, through my testimony and witness, have come to the Lord. But I know I still have other laps to run in my life for the Lord. And I'm expecting that my life will be like that burning palm tree that sends out those showers of sparks, that my many people will find Christ through my witness. That is my joy, that is my expectation, and that is my prayer. And now, concerning my grandfather, I told you, how did we know that man really received Christ? He wasn't going to church because of age, but something happened. Before he died, he left instructions for the family. He called the family together and said that none of his children and their generations should ever go to any, we call them native doctors or any occultists or any, you know, to ask for information, for divination or for any sacrifice, that we should have nothing to do with such beliefs and such practices. Then he said, the second thing is, as immediately upon his burial, that all instruments of his divination should be burnt. And as soon as then, he lived for about 2 years or so after that Adventist pastor witnessed to him. He died in September 1957. And what really pushed up his death was that very year, the French people, that is the France, tested the atomic bomb in the Sahara Desert. And the winds used to blow across the Sahara Desert to us. So the fallout of that atomic test, atomic bomb test, was too much for his weak body. So he didn't live too long after his conversion, but he went to be with the Lord. So this is my testimony. And I always recall how I came to know the Lord. The people that God placed in my way, because I know it is the plan of God. The Methodist people were not invited. No person invited them. God sent them to come and sing in the village square, which caught my attention. And I believe they came for me. God sent, because I was the lone audience. I was the only person they preached to or they sang to. And I thank God that that effort was not in vain. Although all of them now had gone to be with the Lord. But the seed which they planted in me germinated in their, this is just my testimony of my conversion. Maybe if there are other opportunities, I will tell you how it has been with me on the gospel road since 50 years. And so I thank God that God arranged for my conversion. For the Seventh-day Adventist pastor to leave every Saturday, he usually comes on Saturdays. Conducting the service, he will come down to our place on his motorcycle, and he preach only to one man. So it is wonderful how a grandfather and his grandson should come to know the Lord Jesus Christ about the same time. He brought two missions to witness to us. And two of us, we came to know Christ at the same time. And my request to you is, remember me in your prayers, that God will use me, that God will still make me, through my witness, to bear many, many fruits for him. God bless you. And also, thank you for inviting me. Thank you for your pastor. Thank God for your pastor. And thank you for all of you that are listening to me. God bless you.